goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It's not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of His Word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where'er I may be, if He is there. I count it a privilege here, His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Grab your Bible. Open it up to Revelation. Chapter 19. I thought I had a song down here, but I maybe break into song. But it says the GSBC financial report, so I don't want to sing that. There's also this poem. I got to read this one more time here. They said in the paper today that there's a mask requirement inside and outside in all public places now.
By New York?
In New York. That hasn't really changed. It's there. It's not mandated, but it's just required again. So they resurrected this guy from the dead and asked him what he thought, and here's what he said. I will not wear it on my face. I will not wear it any place. I will not wear it to get in. I will not wear it on my chin. I will not wear it on my ear. I will not wear it out of fear. I will not wear your stupid mask. I will not wear it. Do not ask. And so I run around and see people wearing masks everywhere, and I'm amazed that we're in we're doing that in America again. And so I'll say no more about that. I think Dr. Seuss said it very well. Dr. Seuss's stand-in said it very well, I guess. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 19. I don't know exactly how to preach this or to conclude this hunt for the last October, but I thought it'd be good to review. I feel like we've missed some of it. Normally I follow a structure with all the pieces in there. This year we had five Sundays, but interrupted one here for our revival services. It was so good again to hear some good preaching from Dr. Fielder. Dr. Fielder is, when you're in upstate New York, when you're a preacher in upstate New York, you don't have a lot of friends. And Dr. Fielder is my friend. Again, he and I just clicked. We're cut out of the same cloth. And I just appreciate him coming and preaching. He said a lot of things about your pastor that might not be as true. Again, he's a very, very eloquent spokesman. And that's why I have him here. And I'm not that eloquent of a spokesman. I do love Bible teaching. And that's what we want to do a little bit of here again in Revelation chapter 19. We're getting to the end again. And there's two suppers listed in this chapter that I want to go ahead and examine. And I don't know how to introduce them. Let's go ahead and look at the first supper that you and I will be part of. If you're here and you are a born-again Christian, you've accepted Christ as your own personal Savior, you know again of your eternal destiny with Him, if He saved you and witnesses in your soul till you know it, the Bible says in 1 Peter that we just went through that He'll save you till you know it, and He'll change you till you show it. And again, we need to know it and to grow it and then to show it. Again, that's Peter's outline. I love that. But again, if you're a born-again Christian, we're going to be at one of these two suppers right here. And let's go ahead and look at the closing now of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to close again our Hunt for the Last October Bible Prophecy Conference here. Let me go ahead and say also, by way of public service announcement, that as soon as we get the preacher to say amen today, Beverly and I are hopping in the car. We get our business done here. And we're driving off to Mount Pocono, which is exactly halfway to Vision Baptist College. And then tomorrow we'll finish that journey and go on down to Vision Baptist College. We'll be staying in Ocean City, New Jersey for the whole week. Our kids pitched in and got us a bed and breakfast all paid for down there. And so we're headed out there. If it seems like we're a little distracted this morning, it's because we're running things through our heads saying, did we remember this? Did we remember that? I got my teeth, and I got three phones, so I think I'm okay. Praise the Lord. But we do appreciate, again, the opportunity to get away. Appreciate, again, next week, Brother Taylor's excited on coming down and preaching for us here. And so that's a little bit of what's going on this week. And Brother Cranmer's acknowledged that he'll go ahead and teach something on our Wednesday night prayer time here tonight, or this week. And so appreciate so much the opportunity to get away and especially go down and be with the grandkids at college. Is going to be enjoyable for us. That's our 50th honeymoon, I said, is what we're taking this week. Someone said, you mean you had 50 honeymoons? Yeah, every year we have a honeymoon. It just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter, praise the Lord. So at least not from my end. Again, we get a second opinion on that maybe, but praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 19, two suppers. And let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. Just a couple verses that we read here. Revelation chapter 19. And look with me. I think I started this out in verses 6 through 10. We're going to look at two suppers here. And this is the first one that's mentioned. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Father, praise you for your word. I thank you for its accuracy first, and I thank you that we can lean on it. That we could trust it, that we could trust every word, and we don't need a modern version to do that. And Father, I'll praise you and thank you for your blessing on what we look at here in this 19th chapter of the revelation of your precious Son and our Savior. Father, as we read these words, I pray that you'd encourage each one in a special way today, and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we'd ask it. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I think before I spend too much time here on this marriage supper of the Lamb, I want to go ahead and look at the second supper. As we look at these two suppers here, probably nobody has brought out better the description of these two than Henry Ironside. And so, praise the Lord, I have a systematic theology book that includes all of Henry Ironside's work. And lecture number 20, he says this about the two suppers that's recorded in Revelation 19, 6 through 12. He says, we are to be occupied with two opposite scenes on this occasion, one of which is to take place very shortly in heaven, and the other on earth. Both are called suppers. The one is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The other is the great supper of God. The first is all joy and gladness. The second is a scene of deepest gloom and anguish. The marriage supper of the Lamb ushers in the fullness of glory for the heavenly saints. The great supper of God concludes the series of judgments that are to fall upon the prophetic earth and opens the way for the establishment of the long-waited-for kingdom of God. When I use the term the prophetic earth, I refer to the Roman earth, that is, to the portion of the world which lies within where once the confines of the Roman Empire. And in addition to this, that part of the world where Babylon will hold sway at the end or time of the end. As I understand it, the heathen nations that have not yet taken professedly Christian ground will not be included in the scene upon which God's heaviest judgments will fall, though necessarily all the world will suffer in measure when Christendom and Judaism are visited by the fires of His wrath. The day of God's red heavens will be worldwide, but its intensity will be upon the prophetic earth. After the harlot Babylon has passed out of the vision of the Apostle John, his attention is transferred to heaven, and he tells us, I heard, as it were, a voice of great multitude. And that's our reading that we took there in Revelation chapter 19, starting in verse 6. And so we see there a description. This is at the end of it all. This is, again, at the termination of this tribulation period. The seven seals had already been peeled off. The title book covers the title of this earth belonging to the one who is worthy to open the book. The seven trumpets have already sounded that, again, give a taste of what's going to happen when the book is open. And when the book was opened, seven vials of the wrath of God are poured out upon this earth in judgment beyond our description. And now again, we're talking about these two suppers in Revelation chapter 19. Look with me at the second supper, and then we'll rejoice the more in that first supper. It says in verse 31, and I saw heaven open, or verse 11, I'm sorry. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he just judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Notice we have three names given right there. Of this rider of the white horse. First, he's called Faithful and True. Secondly, he's got a name that you and I could not comprehend, and it is not given, and though we don't know that. And thirdly, he is called the Word of God. The Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was the life of the world. And the light, or the Word, was made flesh, it says, and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So John chapter 1 gives us this name, the Word of God. Look up here, look up here. And understand, I'm holding here a book that we call the Word of God. The Word of God is the only begotten Son of God, was a manifestation of God so that we could see God. The Word of God that I hold here in 66 books is called the Word of God because it's a manifestation of God. And in this book we can see God. And in this book we can learn of God. We're encouraged to do that. And so it's not a coincidence that the Word of God here is the name of this book, and it's also the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." There's another name. Verse 17, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." There it is. The supper of the great God. Verse 18, "That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses, them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against them that sat on the horse and against his army." If you've been following along in our study of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we found in chapter 16 that he gathered all the nations of the earth together to a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And there the Bible says that his foot is going to touch down on the Mount of Olives, and that Mount of Olives is going to cleave in two, and there's going to be a great valley. And all the nations of the world are going to come shaking their fist at the Lord Jesus Christ, shaking their fist at the King of Kings, at the Lord of Lords, shaking their fist at true and faithful, one that they don't understand even the name of him. And in rebellion, they're going to come and gather at a battle called the Battle of Armageddon, if you've heard that. And so, if you do a Google search of Armageddon, you find that there's a whole bunch of kids' games, again, that they can play and destroy the world through their little toys that they play with nowadays. But listen, this is no toy. This description here is horrid. The description, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ allowing that, again, the seven vials of the wrath of God are poured out upon this earth before this happens. Turn back just a couple chapters and look with me at one of those, chapter 16. "And the fifth angel poured out," verse 10 says, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongue for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of the pain of their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Revelation chapter 16 there tells again that the judgment that does not bring, again, repentance to mankind, instead it brings a hatred to mankind. And notice again that we've seen in our own country, even a taste of it here, in the United States of America, where O'Biden opens the borders and influx thousands of millions of immigrants. And does he learn a lesson from that? No, he rallies in that. It's destroying America. It's destroying our economy. And yet, again, he's rejoicing in that. There's no repentance on his part. He abandons people again in the war again going on in the Middle East. And is there any repentance in what he's done? No, none whatsoever. And it's appalling to me, ex-military, again, to see some of the things that's going on. I never could have imagined it happening in this country. But here it is, and yet it's accepted by The majority, I don't know if it's a majority anymore, but it's accepted by the bulk of the citizens that run this world. And so again, as we look at this, again, we can understand that things are going to get worse and worse. In contrast to that, let me go ahead and stop for a moment here and teach a little bit of Roman Catholicism that's leaked into the Protestant religion. And it's taught in the church across the street. It's taught, again, across America in all Protestant churches. Have been taught that the world's going to get better and better and gooder until eventually the Pope is going to usher in a world kingdom that will take over the whole world, and there's going to be peace on earth. And again, he will hand that kingdom over to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Vatican is going to rule this world. Our president met with that Pope again over there in Rome this past week. And again, I'd have you know again and have you see again that there's going to be a one world government. That's why, again, Ironside, when he talks about the Christendom and Judaism being part of this judgment that's coming up, is because Christendom is left behind. Now, the church isn't going to be going through this. The church isn't here for this. But Christendom is, because Christendom is apostate. It has rejected God. It's rejected these truths. And so consequently, again, it's going to stay here. After the rapture occurs, churches will go on and they won't even notice that the Good Samaritan Baptist Church is empty. And so again, as we look at these things, it's hard to comprehend. But again, understand this, that God said it, and it's going to happen. It's going to fulfill exactly as he said. And we're just getting a taste of more and more of these things, and conceivable, and the mark of the beast, and the things that go on, and again, the leadership, and the new world order, and a one world government. All those things are just now hitting our newspapers, and we're pondering some of those things. But the Bible's already laid it out. We need to understand that, again, what God said is going to happen, it's going to happen. Let's go back and look at this marriage supper. If you remember some of the accounts in Matthew, it says Jesus gave a parable, and he said that a king had prepared a great feast and invited all of the guests to come, and they would not come, and they all had excuses. And he gave this command to his servants, go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And again, whosoever could, whosoever would, whosoever will, praise the Lord, could come into that feast that was prepared by the king. And listen, that's a portrayal of what's going on here. Remember again, when there's another parable that Jesus gave of the 10 virgins, and five of them were prepared and had oil enough and spare. But five of those 10 virgins did not. And while they went out, again, looking for more oil for their lamp, again, the bridegroom came and took away those, again, that were there and waiting on him. Listen, such as it is in 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, that the thief's going to come. And if you're not expecting the thief, you'll suffer loss. But listen, if you're watching for that event, if you're looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's portrayed in the scriptures, the Bible says we're going to be caught away in the previous chapter there, chapter 4. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone. And again, afterwards, those that had not prepared for that taking away, they're going to be left here on this earth, and they're going to go through that 7 years of tribulation. And they're going to be here again at this ending point of this tribulation period, if they've lived through all of that horrid time. As I said, and as I read, there's not going to be a lot of repentance on this earth during that time. There's going to be more, a greater hatred towards God, even greater than we see today. Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Your government says, no, 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 it didn't happen that way. Bible says, he created man. Male and female created that he them. It's unbelievable to me, but our government says, no, 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 it don't work that way. You can choose whatever you want to be. Bible says, again, that a man that lieth with a man as he would with a woman, Bible says that's an abomination to God. But our government says, no, 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 that's just an alternate lifestyle. I want you to again understand the hatred that our government has towards God. And they're shaking their fist at God in rebellion against Him. Not only that, they're coercing everyone else to do the same. And mandates, and without law, again. They're just pushing their agenda. And it is a godless agenda. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6 says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." If you read the book of Revelation through and stop it right in the middle in chapter 12, and you go to the dead center middle verse of this book, you'll find again that that's where Satan is kicked out of heaven. Exactly halfway through. It's exactly three and a half years into the great 7-year tribulation period. And the last 3.5 years then unfold as Satan is down here on this earth. And the things that's unfolded there in chapter 12 and 13 unfold here upon this earth. But listen, praise the Lord, you're not here for that. Praise the Lord, the Bible says that there's going to be a sound of a trumpet before any wrath falls out of heaven. And it's not appointed unto us for wrath. There's going to be a sound of a trumpet, and we're going to be gone. If you're a born-again believer, if you're not a born-again believer today, and that trumpet should sound right now, and we'd be caught out of there, Bible says that you're going to have a strong delusion and miss the whole thing. I like, again, the Left Behind series that's come out. It makes you think. But again, some of that is mistaken. Again, that the whole world is going to notice that Christians are gone. No, I don't think it's going to work that way. I think, again, there's going to be a tiny remnant that's gone. And then there's going to be such a riotous time here upon this earth and such a rebellion against Christianity, again, that no one's even going to notice that we're gone. But here we are, two things that happen here in heaven with us as saints. And let me just cover them quickly to understand that there is going to be a Bema Seat judgment is what we call it. 1 Corinthians covers that again, that our works are going to be tried so as by fire. Our soul is not being tried, but our works are being tried. And some will suffer loss for the things that they did or did not do here for the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, as born-again believers, you've been commissioned to be a minister of reconciliation. And again, to preach the gospel to everyone that we see. We've been told to be His witnesses. And we're going to give answer for whether how we do that. And in Ephesians there, it talks again about the purifying of the chaste virgin or the wife of God. And that wife of God is two things, okay? You got to understand this again to get it straight. First off, there is a wife of God, Jehovah God, in the Old Testament, and that's Israel. Israel is the unfaithful wife. But God, the Bible says that God's going to restore that unfaithful wife. But this here bride that it's talking about here, and this here marriage supper, is not for Israel. It is for the church. That's why the church has been called the bride of Christ. Let me ask you a question. We're going on our honeymoon again. And this was my bride 50 years ago, but she was only a bride for one day. You're only a bride on the day again that you get married, that you attend. After that, you're not a bride, okay? So you only get to be a bride for one day. Now, it's good, guys, pay attention to this. It's good if you treat her like a bride the rest of your life again. But understand that Bible says that the bride's going to be called out, called away. Bride's going to be caught away. When the bridegroom comes for his bride, and then we find that the bridegroom comes with his bride. And so here, again, notice that it all culminates in this bride coming. And it says in Ephesians, when it gives the description of husband and wife and the priorities of that, that Jesus Christ is cleansing the bride to make her perfect. And again, that's what is going on here. Look at that verse. that says they're given white linen. Verse 8, chapter Revelation 19 and verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the linen is the righteousness of saints. Let me again pause right here and say the Roman church has no idea what to do with this chapter. None. It has no answer to it. It's tried to allegorize it away and pretend it doesn't exist. It's tried to pretend that the church is the wife of God. And again, that's in all of its teachings. Again, from the very beginning, it's wrong again on that line. And it is a replacement for Israel. And so again, as we understand scriptures again, boy, it's clear here that this is not Israel. This is the church that's caught away as the bride. And so there we have those two things happening. And then the third thing that occurs for us, for his saints, for born-again believers that are around. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then it said, listen, then it said, he that liveth and believeth shall never die. And then it said, can you believe that? Okay, that's my little paraphrase of what it says. But that's what Jesus said to Martha. Can you believe that? And yeah, we believe that. And we could be caught out of here and never die. Never meet the undertaker. Just meet the upper taker. But again, that's when he comes for the church. And then as I read here with the rider on the white horse with all the names given, he comes with his saints, riding with him. So that's just a portrayal of the two suppers that we have here. In the minutes I got left, I want to go back and review why we're doing this, why we're rehearsing this. And again, let me start by saying that if you have a close friend, an intimate friend, you can share things with them. And you can share the innermost secrets of your heart. You can share the innermost thoughts and everything that you have laid out in plans for the future. And if they're a friend, they don't go laugh behind your back and tell someone else the stupidity that you've got in your head. No, again, an intimate friendship. We can share things with each other as friends. And we can have a trust that, hey, we're sharing things of intimacy here. And they're not going to use them against us. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm not going to call you servants anymore. From now on, I'm going to call you friends. Because I've told you everything that my Father has revealed to me. Let me say it again. You are a friend of God because Jesus Christ told you everything that's going to happen here in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That captures all the dreams that Daniel had, that captures all the promises of the Old Testament, that captures all the promises that Isaiah made about a kingdom and a lion laying down with a lamb and the child putting his hand on an adder. All of those promises that were given, listen, they're fulfilled here in the revelation of Jesus Christ because he has shared with you everything again that he's going to do. That is an intimacy that we have with God. The Bible says Moses talked to God face to face as a man speaketh with a friend. Prophetically, again, you and I are fit into that category because we have a friend that's closer than a brother. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we would learn these things because, as I've said so many times, it is ennobling to learn these things. And then let's go back and look at one more set of things. And again, I don't want to labor this, but turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. There are, in your Bible, prophetic things that are outlined. And again, we saw the call there in Revelation that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so let's look back at some of the spirit of prophecy, and let's begin that in Leviticus and chapter 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I'm going the wrong way. Leviticus in chapter 23 outlines the feasts of God. And again, we've already gone through a couple of them. And this year, actually we've gone through all six of the feasts this year. In the spring of the year, we have what's called Passover. And again, that's around our Easter time. In fact, they move Easter around so it lines up with the Sunday after the Passover, where they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Along with that feast comes a feast of unleavened bread, and that's why there's a series of Sabbath days that the women could not come to the tomb until the first day of the week. And then they came and found that the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected. That, again, is portrayed in Scripture as the Passover. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Move along 50 days down the road, and there is a feast called Pentecost, or 50 days, 50 weeks, Feast of Weeks it's called, 50 weeks down the road. And you'll notice again that there we have Pentecost, which is where the church again was anointed with the Spirit of God and began its ministry. Very important, very prophetic picture there. And then if you go to the fall of the year, that's where we're at in this reading, starting in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 23. Let's start 23:23. I like that. That rhymes with 2020. That's almost, sorry. Leviticus 23:23. If you have it, follow along in your Bible. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This is called the Feast of Trumpets. It occurs on the first day of their seventh month. And again, there's a trumpet call, and the trumpet, as you look at it, there's for a calling. Again, notice that we're looking for a trumpet call. We're listening for a trumpet out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The trump of God shall sound, and an archangel is going to call out, and again, we're going to be caught away. So we're looking, we're listening for a trumpet call. But Israel is also listening for a trumpet call. And there it is in this verse. So we have the Feast of Trumpets, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And so again, there's a what we call Yom Kippur, what the Hebrews call Yom Kippur, what we call the Day of Atonement, is again the second part of this feast. And these are feasts that point to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that point to His coming to atone for the sins of Israel, His chosen people. The things we read in Revelation leading up to the Battle of Armageddon is where He comes to save His people Israel. Romans chapter 11 says He will do that. And here we have a feast that portray that in the seventh month, generally falling into our month of October, which is why we have a Hunt for the Last October Bible Prophecy Conference. One more feast that's in here. Look at verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And for 7 days, then they were to take and live in a tabernacle, to emphasize again that we're only sojourners here in this world. We don't belong to this world. Again, what tremendous message. What was a Monday night? On the fact that we don't belong in this world. And we're not to be of the world. In the world, but not of the world. And so we see that emphasized here in the fact, again, that we have a tabernacle, a Feast of Tabernacles, where they, again, separate and live in a tent, as it were, a tabernacle, to emphasize, again, that we're only sojourning here. We're only here for a little while. These three feasts come together to form again a trio of witness again that the Lord's going to come back. He's going to fulfill those promises that He made to Israel. And we've studied them. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 10, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Next book, look with me at chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. Let me emphasize the importance of trumpets here. We've seen them again in the New Testament to announce His coming. Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of the whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the adjourning of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes that are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. And so it goes down through there and gives this call of the trumpets. And as we study that and as we look at its use, the trumpet is to call a battle. The trumpet is to call a warning. Or the trumpet is to call an assembly. And these trumpets are to call an assembly. And listen, that's what the church is when it's called out. It's a calling of a trumpet for the assembling of all the saints. Then, and on that day, called the bride of Christ. And we're caught away out of this world at the sound of a trumpet. Let's look familiar verses again. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. If you happen to pass Corinthians 15 on the way, throw a thumb in there and hold it. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. We just commented in our reading again this week. By the way, if you're reading through our Bible schedule, I think it's on there that you read Psalms 119 this week. I don't know if you've done that in one sitting before, but I encourage you to do that. Beverly and I read 8 verses apiece out loud together and just read through that whole psalm. What a blessing again to understand the power and presence of the Word of God. As given in that psalm. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. No, let's back up to verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, or die, in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or have died. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We are not appointed unto wrath. We're appointed again unto this bridegroom's position when He calls His bride. And we again are united with the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at chapter 5 and verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I hope you know that perfectly. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, next to the last chapter, verse 15. It's one loaded chapter. And so let's start at verse 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Start at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Praise the Lord, there is coming a resurrection of saints. One more, Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 18 and 19. First 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and then Hebrews in your Bible. The Jewish epistle to the Hebrews. Chapter 12. And I'd almost read all the way to the end of the chapter, but let's cut the gist of it here for time's sake. Verse 18 says, For ye are not come into the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, but if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Verse 25, see that ye refuse not that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. It goes on to describe the great shaking that is yet to come here upon this earth. Listen, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you're listening in today, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I don't want you to be here for that great shaking that's going to come upon the earth. That 7-year tribulation period, that time when he peels the seals off of that title book of the world deed that's going to be given to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And again, as the trumpet sounds and gives the warning, I don't want you to see again the devastation that starts to unfold here in this world. We're getting just a taste of it now with wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and signs and wonders going on in this world. Just a taste, just a glimpse. But again, the horror of it as described in Revelation of Jesus Christ. And then again, to be here for the wrath of God pointed out. You're not appointed to wrath. And you're not under condemnation if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a joy, what a blessing. And so we can look at the hunt for the last October. We can look again for Yom Kippur when it's really going to be fulfilled. Not in a prophetic feast, but in the actual redemption of Israel there in the Battle of Armageddon that we read. We can look forward to that knowing again that God's all powerful. And we're on the winning side. Who is that preacher that's saying we're on the winning side? Curtis Hudson. Ah, yeah. What blessings, praise the Lord. I'd almost close with that. We're on the winning side. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, these things are precious to us as we study them. And I appreciate, again, your attention today and even through this whole month, even through these past 24 years as we've outlined and talked about and look forward to. And listen. It's closer now than it's ever been. It's closer now than it's ever been. When Beverly and I married 50 years ago, I started praying about in August. Said, Lord, I want you to come, but I don't want you to come before I get married. And I actually prayed that God would delay his coming. And praise the Lord, he did, and we did get married. Here we are 50 years later. Listen, I want you to know that at any moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we could be gone. If we'd live our week knowing that that's possible, that this could be your last week here on this earth, I bet you'd walk a little different. I bet you'd talk a little different. I bet you'd talk to somebody about your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, more brazenly, more openly than you would if we're just hum-hoing through another week here on this earth. Listen, this could be our last October. This could be our last week here on this earth. This could be the last opportunity you have to share the gospel with a loved one, with a neighbor. Praise the Lord. Our neighbor called up as we were headed to the car this morning and said his truck had slid down the hill into the lake and he wanted me to come tow him out. I said, no, I can't. I know we're a pastor of Good Samaritan Baptist Church, but I'm going to leave your ox there in a ditch. No, we didn't say any of that. Listen, we need to be a testimony of the saving grace of God to everybody. And he come up and said, oh, you're on your way to church. And I said, I sure am, but I can pull your truck out of that ditch here in no time flat. And so we did that. We're a little late for church maybe for it. But listen, everything we do, we need to be a testimony of God's saving grace. And boy, we've witnessed our neighbors down there. And you need to be a witness. This week, take an opportunity to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ that saved you. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Father, I stand in awe of this book. I thank you that I have the opportunity to teach it and to preach it. Thank you for these past 24 years that we've walked through these truths, marveled again at the intimacy we have with your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior. Father, that we could again just approach you and call you Abba, Father. Father, I'd ask again now that you'd change our heart. Cause again that as we walk through this week, that we'd step into a new month on tomorrow. Father, realizing again that there's going to come an end to all this, and we need to be about the Father's business today. Help us with that. Encourage hearts. Father, there's some of us going through some struggles just now. And there's some that are calling on you, Father, for your help. And I'd ask that you'd hear our prayers and intervene and touch lives even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Encourage saints. And Father, cause again that we'd not get sidetracked, but we would be again about your business. Thank you for the week of services we had last week. Thank you for what was preached. Thank you for the decisions that was made, the prayers that were lifted to you. And I'd ask now, Father, as we step out of October and into a new month, that we do so with an urgency to understand again that you're soon returning and there'll be a little opportunity left for us to be witnesses of your saving grace, to be ministers of reconciliation. Help us to be that and touch each heart here today. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ we ask. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll dismiss everybody over time again. It's good to be saved. Let's sing that chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. Pastor and Beth will be out of town for the whole week. Behave yourself while we're gone. And thou mayest ought to behave yourself in the house of the Lord. Lord bless you.
Bueno.
I couldn't find a cough drop up here, but I did find a fireball.
Oh, hey, glad to have you here. Glad to have you here. Oh. I figured that. Maybe that was the other way around.
Thanks for bringing some friends.
Hi ho, hi ho. It's off to work I go.
No, it's hi ho. Hi ho.
So, you guys going to be handing out candy at a hotel?
Is that tonight?
Today's Halloween.
Yep.
So, they trick or treated last night.
Oh, they did?
And the president. Wow.
Ours is tonight.
Is it?
Yeah. Hey, Ed, we should sing one more song.
Oh.
Ed's birthday is Tuesday.
Oh, we got a birthday.
Tuesday?
Oh,
Jason's looking
at
you.
Right there.
Okay, here's a reminder for Tracy. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord.
My niece is a year older than she is. And she calls her old Aunt Deb.
My sister got a philosophy.